Would you guys stand with us as we open our service?
Special event tonight with our children's choir coming up at this time. So, kid, do you want to come on up?
Yeah. Thank you. Well, amen. Amen. It's so wonderful to have you all here to celebrate with us tonight. I know so many of you are with your families. Christmas is such an important part. And this is my family. And I'm so blessed to have them here tonight. We're minus one. My son Alex is a pastor up in Rockford, and he couldn't get out of duties tonight. But besides that, this is God's blessing in my life, and I'm so thankful to have them here. I would say this is all Duncan's, but it's no longer true. He blew it. He ruined it. No, this is my son-in-law Solomon, and just so thankful that he and Kelsey could be here. They are out in Colorado serving the Lord. He's a youth pastor at a church there in Erie, Colorado. And then that is my son Jake, and he is home from college. And that is my son Benjamin, and then my daughter Kendra on the end. All of them evidence that I was once a better looking man. So it's our privilege tonight to light the Christ candle. But before we do that, I've asked Kim just to share a little bit.
And I'm his wife, Kim.
Best part.
John just asked me to share a little bit about what I'm thankful for. You kind of took my words, but I am so thankful, probably like most of you, for my family. And I've been kind of pondering over the different seasons that we go through, and actually tonight sitting there, I thought it just feels like a blink of an eye, right? When my kids were up here singing their little hearts out like the kids were tonight. And we've just, this year, had a huge year of change, and I feel like it's been a year of launching. These guys moved out to Colorado a year ago. Jake graduated from high school, and that's a big deal, and went to college. And then Kendra and Ben are in high school together. I'm at high school. I went back to high school. I'm working at the high school with them. And then our son Alex has launched into ministry up in Rockford. And I don't know about you guys, but it just seems like in the midst of a world that feels pretty broken and sometimes pretty dark and insecure, I'm so grateful that what we've been learning about the last few weeks in the sermons and the message is that we get to walk in light and truth, mm-hmm. that the light has come, that he lives in us as believers. And I send these kids out and we launch them out into a world and know that the light goes out in them and that God protects them and has them. And there's so much hope in that. And I'm just so grateful. So the other thing I'm super grateful is for our extended family here. And we just say this with all sincerity. Thank you. You have blessed our family. You have blessed our hearts in the midst of a lot of change this year. Some of us have gone through a lot of hard stuff, some loss. We have many new faces, many new family members. This is what we are made to do, right? This is what we are made to do, is to integrate and get to know each other and be the body of Christ. And there's nothing more powerful than watching him use each of you in each other's lives and in the community that we live in and serve in. So thank you. We are just so grateful for the light that you are to a watching world. And so I'm just so grateful that we have Jesus Christ, the light.
Amen. Well, I've asked them to read. We're going to be reading from Luke 2, and it's 8 through 20.
In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased."
When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger.
When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told.
Amen. You join us for prayer? God, I don't know how many times I've heard that passage read. It's a little more special when your family reads it. I praise you, God, that you have sent Jesus Christ into this dark world, that we are no longer in the dark. We have the light of the world, and he's come, and he's come for us. I pray tonight for every family in this place, every individual, God, that the light of Jesus Christ would flood their heart and they would have joy. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, guys. Well, Merry Christmas. That's my Christmas present. I don't care what you guys do. Let's go. No, anyway, we'll have ourselves a moment. I always, this evening, and being together with the body of Christ and the family of God is so special. If you're family and you've been drug along to this, we're so glad you're here. And I pray that you're encouraged by the opportunity to sing and to know that we have a Savior and His name is Jesus. Amen? I actually want to share just a couple thoughts out of the passage that we read. It seems like every year, as a pastor, I inevitably get drawn back to these crazy shepherds out in a field at night. And the reason I do is the longer I've studied about them and studied this moment, I don't think anybody could more adequately represent us than these shepherds. Now, how many of you have never held a sheep before? Then take this by faith. You're like this. You're a shepherd. Because in that day and age, shepherds weren't exactly popular. No offense. But literally, their life was built as being somewhat of an outcast. Because of their job and what they did with animals, they were considered ritually unclean. And in being in Israel and an Israelite, that was not a good thing. What was really interesting to me is that these particular shepherds, they were what we would call temple shepherds. Now, don't think of that as an upgrade. It was just a designation. And what it meant was that the flocks that they were keeping watch of and the lambs they were raising, they were going to raise these to be used as sacrifices in the temple. So imagine you're an outcast, you're part of the religious system, but you never get to experience being absolved of your sins. You help other people get close to God, but you can't be close yourself. These shepherds literally lived on the outskirts of society. They weren't trusted. They were very, very isolated. And in that way, they remind me of where all of us were at one point in our life. How many of you here tonight would cop to the idea that you're a sinner? If they're not, raise your hand. You know. You know it. And you know what sin does? It isolates. The worst isolation in your life isn't because you've had to spend some time alone. It's because of the things that you have done that cause such guilt and fear. And yet these shepherds had learned long ago, you know, they just kind of existed on the edges of society, and then they would come into town and sell some of their lambs and get back out of town. And so they're a wonderful picture of what it's like to live your life in isolation. We may not feel that way. You may not be on the social edges of the world, but the fact is You know what it's like to be alone because of sin and brokenness, don't you? And the whole world is in that darkness, and there's no solution to it. So imagine we have a group of people who we would at least say are living their lives in the dark. And then the next thing that happens, if you are someone who lives in that kind of isolation, you live with a whole bunch of fear. How many of you have ever been afraid? Some of you are like, all right, what do you mean by that? I want to tell you. You know what? As scary and as fearful as this idea of sin is, there's something much more terrifying. You want to know what it is? Holiness. Holiness is scary. How many of you know what happens to roaches when you turn on the lights? They look for a cupboard to get under as fast as they can. It's like, don't shut off the light. Don't. Here's the thing. These shepherds had lived with their isolation for a long time. They were used to the dark. How many of you would not like to be out in the field in the dark? Guess what? Shepherds are fine with that. They'd been living isolated for a long time. The only thing that would be more terrifying than the dark would be to have the glory and the holiness of God show up with nowhere to run. And this is what the Bible says happens. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. It's nice when we try to translate Greek words. Basically, this meant they were flat on their faces, knee knocking, terrified out of their mind. Because suddenly, after all this distance, there's no space between them and what they are in their sinful state and the holiness and the righteousness of God. Bam! And it terrifies them. And it stays terrifying until the angel starts talking. And when he begins to speak, this is what he says, "Do not be afraid." Right. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" To suddenly be in the presence of holy God with your sin on you must be a terrifying thing. Do you agree? Until you hear the message of Christmas. Suddenly to be face to face with God, and my only thing is, did I wash my hands? What did I do last night? What was the thought that was in my head? How have I messed up? What's he going to say? Am I going to get incinerated on the moment? And the first thing he says is, relax. Don't be afraid. I bring you amazing news. Something that a shepherd would understand. I bring you something that is great news. It's going to give you great joy. Why? There is a Savior, and this Savior is Christ the Lord. Here's a little grammar head for you. Christ the Lord, the only time in the entire New Testament of the Bible that these two words are put next to each other, and it says, the one who God is sending to you is Messiah the Jehovah. This is Savior God. Meaning what? The problem that you have and the problem that I have and the thing that causes me such great fear is my own sinfulness. The Savior who is coming is the only one who can do anything about it. Is that good news? Because apart from that, we live in isolation. How many of you understand that that is the greatest message about Christmas? That someone has come to help you with your sin problem. Do you understand that? It's better than isolation. It's better than a lot of things. If you think of all the things that are broken in your life right now, most of us would say, oh, I'm hard relational, or I need this need, or all this stuff. Look, there's a lot of saviors out there that can help you not be lonely. There's a lot of saviors there who can help you be better physically. There's a lot of saviors. But guess what? The savior that has come has not come to deal with all those issues. He's coming to deal with the culprit behind all those issues. Sin is what causes brokenness in the world. Do you agree with me? That is the problem. And this is the one who was sent. And so God wanted to make sure that people understood this. And so how many of you have ever wondered at this verse? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And then he says to these shepherds, here's how you're going to know it's true. He says, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. If it was me, I would have said something like, you're going to find a giant star over a manger. Why? Because these are shepherds. Do you think this was the first poor baby to ever get put in a manger? Do you think, how many of you think that shepherds actually did this with their kids? What is it about this sentence that takes the whole thing and puts it, twist on it, that changes everything? I'll tell you what it is when they say you will find a baby wrapped in cloths. Do you guys remember I told you these were temple shepherds? Their job was to present lambs to the temple without spot, without blemish. Because the only sacrifices acceptable for sin in the temple had to be perfect. They couldn't be blemished. They couldn't have a scuff. They couldn't have a scar. So what do you think temple shepherds do with baby lambs born to die? They take cloth. Not expensive cloth. Actually, grave cloth. And when that baby lamb is born, they wrap it. They wrap it so that it can't move, so that it can't get scuffed, so that it can't get a scar, because it has to be a perfect sacrifice. What the angel was announcing to these shepherds who would know better than any of us, he's saying, you will find Messiah God in a manger, born to die. And that, my friends, is what Christmas is all about. We have a Savior, and He came to die in our place and to forgive us of our sins. Amen? That is what Christmas is about. And so when you think about the story ending, I always think about, like, the novelty was that you're going to find a baby in a manger. No, it wasn't that. It tells them, you know, the angel departs and they say, let's go right now. Let's check this out. And can you imagine this pile of dirty shepherds coming looking through Bethlehem? They find the inn and they run up. I do that with my lambs. That baby is a sacrifice. And can you imagine when it says that they turned and they left that place and they began to spread the news of all that God said to them? Most of us think that they went out and the message went something like this: the Messiah has come! He was born in Bethlehem! That's not what they were saying. No, you don't understand. He was wrapped. We found him wrapped up. What does it mean? I don't know. He's born to die. I don't understand it, but he was wrapped up for you and for me. Amen? Friends, as you guys think about Christmas, the light of the world that came into this world and was placed in a manger, I don't know if it looked anything like that. It was our best shot. Amen? He was wrapped up as a sacrifice. And he came to set us free from the darkness of sin. Amen? So this is what I want you to consider doing. Talk about it. Would you consider this Christmas talking about that? We passed out these devotionals to you. You don't have to use them. They're just a way to read the story of Jesus' birth. And this is what I would have you consider. I don't know what your house is like and where you're going home to. Maybe your faith is the center of your home. Maybe it's not. Maybe you might be the only Christian sitting at the table this year. But what if you stopped and said, hey, can I just read the Christmas story? And can I tell you that the light of the world has come, and he's come, and Christmas is about the fact that Jesus came to pay for mankind's sin so that they could be forgiven. It's the greatest gift of all. Maybe God will do that. Would you, if you do that, do it with all the believers in your home. Stop and tell the story again. It's worth telling. Tell it to your neighbor. You know somebody's going to wave at you and say, Merry Christmas. Turn to them and go, yes, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, came for your sin. And then watch them run to the glory of God. Amen? Because this world's kind of dark. Last Sunday, it was the first time we'd seen the sun in like a week. Do you guys remember that? Last Sunday, I came back and I drove home and I got out of my car. I literally just stood in the driveway like this. And I just let it cook. How many of you know the world is an awful lot like Illinois in the winter? It's just dark and cloudy, and there's not a lot of light. But we have the greatest light in the world. Amen? John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Oh, you know, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, let me pray for you. Oh God, the message of Christmas comes to us. Lord, we identify with shepherds who were outcasts, unclean. Lord, we all have sin. We all have brokenness. We all have all these things. But you have come. Lord, I love it when it says that peace among men with whom you are well pleased. I pray that for those here tonight who might still live in fear of being found out, for being not perfect, for being sinners, that they would look up into the eyes, proverbially, of Jesus Christ, and they would see his smile. He is going to judge the world, but he came first to seek and to save anyone who would turn to them. I pray that this Christmas, more people would come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ. Lord, for us tonight, we rejoice. The light of the world has come. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite some people to come forward who are going to be lighting candles. And we are going to have a moment where we are going to be singing Silent Night. If you did not get a candle, there's still time. If you want to run to the basket, we're going to play for a little while to make sure that everybody does. And as these folks come forward, they're going to go along these two center aisles, and they're going to light your candles. And then your job is to pass that candlelight out. I would encourage you this. If you have a young child and you know that they like to move erratically, please keep your hand on that candle with them. And if you keep them straight up and down, we'll do all right. But we're going to let you pass that light. And when the light is all spread out, then we're going to sing Silent Night together. So let's begin. You can feel free to stand. Series for the last month has been Waiting for the Light. My friends, the light has come. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Messiah, was born, and he lived and died and lives forevermore for us. Amen.